You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. On this episode, we've got a guest. His name is Austin. He has his own podcasting, YouTube, TikTok, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. They've got a lot going on, and he is with Bizarre Junkies. That's two E's and a Z. Austin, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm really honored you asked me to be on the show.
Yeah, I saw your eyes checking the math on those two E's and a Z there, but I think I'm right on that.
Yeah, you're right.
So you guys do a little bit of everything. I discovered you, like many people, on TikTok with some of your clips that you have where you've interviewed people talking about paranormal, true crime, crazy professions they have. What got you interested into the other world, into the fringe?
So it was quite simply unfiltered access to television. As a child, I grew up watching the Sci-Fi Channel. And so, of course, I watched Ghost Hunters, I watched Destination Unknown, I watched all of those shows growing up, and I was always super fascinated by it. And then I kind of lost it in my teens, and then when I became an adult, it started to come back, and I started this channel back in, I believe, 2021, and I just started doing like video essays and documentaries on stuff, and it kind of just evolved from there.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I was definitely a latchkey kid, and for whatever reason, my parents thought it was a good idea to have a TV in my bedroom forever. As soon as I got my own room, I had a little TV in there. And looking back on that, man, what a mistake that was. I was tired every day for school. I wasn't interested in school because I knew I had my, you know, I could go back home and that night I was going to stay up and watch Letterman, Stern, you know, MTV, whatever it was, because I'm a kid from the 90s. So I feel you there. One thing we love to ask our guests is where they fall on what we call the Believo-meter. 0 meaning you don't believe in ghosts, and 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
If you were to ask me that literally a year ago today, I would be at probably a 5. I was always in the middle, like with cryptids and everything. I'm always in the middle until you can prove to me one way or the other. I did my first paranormal investigation last October, and I had a lot of stuff occur for me, and now I'm at like a solid 9 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big jump. Of course, we'll jump into those paranormal experiences that you had on that investigation, but I'd love to hear a little more about your channel. Can you tell our audience where they can find your channels and what they can expect when they start exploring the various forms of media you guys have?
Yeah, so we're on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, maybe LinkedIn. I don't know if I've shared stuff on there. It's not really our demographic, but we are Bizarre Junkies. It's mostly myself. I have a co-host for one of my shows, and I have a producer that also makes appearances, as well as some crew members that make appearances. But we are kind of everything. We talk about cryptids, aliens, the paranormal, true crime. We kind of cover it all. And so we've had people on like Jay Wosley from Ghost Adventures. We've had on a Sasquatch researcher. We've had on a crime scene cleaner. And that's what really helped us go viral, was that crime scene cleaner, because the stories he told were incredible. And now also, ever since last October, we now have been diving into the world of paranormal investigation. So we did one in October. That was a lot of fun. And we're actually, at the time of recording this, doing another one this weekend.
When you were a child staying up and watching all these shows unfiltered and non-bothered, did you have anything remotely that resembled a paranormal experience, or did your first real experiences come from that investigation?
So I had one that happened before the investigation, but that was, I was almost out of high school at that point. And what it was I was in my bedroom. My girlfriend wasn't there, and nobody else in the house was there and lived with my parents at the time. What sounded and felt like an earthquake was happening, but only like my window was pushing in. So I thought it was my friend, who's actually now my producer of the show. I thought it was him just messing with me. So I run outside and I go out to the side yard where my window is, and there's nobody there. I call him and I go, "Hey man, were you just at my house?" He goes, "No, I've been in California the last 2 days." Okay. And I told my girlfriend, and she goes, "Yeah, I'm going to call my mom." And I'm not religious really at all. And so her mom brought over some holy water. She bless the room, and it stopped. And I hadn't had anything again from then until last year, but that was my first one, and I want to say it was probably like 17-18 at the time.
So you said that her mom brought over the holy water. Now, after you've done your investigation, which we'll jump into next, do you believe that there are forces that can counteract the paranormal, or do you think it's just happenstance that sometimes that coexists with the paranormal and seems to help?
So this has been something, and literally today we were live. Last week I had a minister on the show, and my co-host is a spiritualist. She's, you know, been accepted into EFA and all that. I think that's what it is. She's going to kill me if I get that wrong, but she is a spiritualist.
Just call it Hogwarts. That'll make her real happy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I enjoy my living at the moment. But so she's a spiritualist. And so they were talking about it today live on YouTube, but I was, after the investigation, I was very conflicted, because I don't really believe in a God or anything like that. But then at the same time, how does any of this make sense? And so I've been super conflicted with that. And what I think, like, I do think there are things that counteract it. And so funny enough, the studio here that I'm sitting in has actually been experiencing a lot of paranormal activity, which is why we're doing an investigation on it this weekend. But ultimately, we're going to cleanse it at the end. So with our last investigation, a friend of the show who actually will be with us again this weekend is a paranormal sensitive. I don't really like calling him a medium, because he doesn't really speak to spirits or anything, but he is very aware and heightened to it. His sister, though, is a medium. So it probably runs in their family. But he saged us the last time, and nothing followed anybody home. And so I'd like to believe that that's what did it. Also, we went in there being respectful, telling, you know, the entities there, like, "Hey, we're not here to be disrespectful or interrupt anything. We're here to just observe." And I feel that also helped as well. But I do think potentially there are things that can help with spirits, but ideally, hopefully you're not dealing with a negative spirit or a low vibrational entity.
Well, let's jump into the investigation that you were part of. Can you tell us where it was and what led up to the investigation?
Did you ever play Fallout New Vegas?
I did, yeah.
So, you know, the saloon that you start at?
Mm-hmm.
We went to the real life location, which is about 20 minutes north, or technically west of here. So it's 20 minutes outside of Vegas. It's a place called the Pioneer Saloon in Good Springs, Nevada. The owner of the saloon is friends with the paranormal sensitive we had on, but I am also a podcast producer here at this studio that I am sitting in. So I produce other people's shows. And one of the shows was that guy, the owner of the saloon. So I kind of talked to him about it a little bit. I was like, "Hey, how would you feel about us going there?" And now he's only owned it for a couple of years, but Ghost Adventures has been there. Other paranormal teams have been there. So he was understanding, and he's had a ton of encounters. So eventually I was like, hey man, like, I think I need to do it. And I was actually terrified of doing it. If I'm going to be real with you, I was super scared to do it for the first time. And I was like, all right, I guess we're going to do this. So we planned it out and we went on Wednesday, October 18th.
And so you get there, was the owner of the saloon, was he part of the investigation with you, or did he just kind of open the doors and let you run with it?
Yes, he was part of it. Because I told him, I was like, hey man, like, you're not going to charge us. The least I could do is have you on, and then it's promotion for the saloon and whatnot. So the talent, as we call it, the talent was myself, Brian Hopkins, which is the paranormal sensitive, and then Steven Stats, aka Old Man Livers, what he calls himself. That's his stage name. It was the three of us, and then we had about four crew members with us. So we had two independent cameras, and then a producer that was kind of helping us make sure we were staying on time and being like, hey guys, let's maybe move on to a different room kind of thing. Him being there, I think, lent a lot to the final results that we got, which were pretty heavy towards the end of the investigation. But yeah, we definitely got a lot there.
So you get in there. What was kind of your first aha or kind of like, oh shit moment where you started to feel your kind of internal meter tip into, all right, there's paranormal at the saloon?
Yeah. So the first thing that happened was we get there and we interview some of the staff. We interview and we get their thoughts. And then we do a lights on tour of the entire facility, the courtyard, the general store, the saloon, the back of house. The lore behind, or the history behind the saloon, is there was a poker game that went wrong and a man was shot and killed and was left on the floor, because this is the early 1900s, was left on the floor for over 10 hours, because by the time the coroner got there, that's how long it took. Mm. So the table is still there. The bullet holes are still in the wall. You can go there right now and see them. They're really proud of their history. They're like, yeah, here it is right here. We go and we sit at the table halfway through this tour. Halfway through. Steven, the owner, sits on one side where the man who was shot was sitting. I go and I go to pull out the chair where the dealer was sitting. And as I go to pull it, I feel like a very stiff resistance, as if somebody is holding the chair there. And I bring it up, it's on the video, and I go, not to cut you off, but I just tried to pull the chair out and it didn't come out right away. And if you watched, I tried to pull it a couple of times to see if I could recreate it, see if it got hung up on the floor. And I said, and I feel really heavy. And before I could even finish the statement, heavy energy, Steven goes, yeah, like a heavy energy. He's like, yeah, I feel that right now too. We were just doing the lights on tour. We hadn't even really started the investigation yet. So that was that was probably an hour into us being there. But, you know, most of it was setting up equipment, getting people ready, getting the interviews done. So, but it was before we even started the actual investigation that I was realizing we're actually doing this.
And the owner of the saloon obviously knows the lore of his own place, especially somewhere that has been featured. And was he able to give you an indication of what spirit or entity that may have been holding onto the chair?
Not necessarily, because we kind of just, there's a multiple potential spirits there. So I won't say the last one because it's very vital to the end of the investigation. But one of them was, do you know who Carol Lombard is? Clark Gable, he was in Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
So his wife, Carol Lombard, crashed. Their plane crashed in the hills directly behind the Pioneer Saloon. They staged the rescue operation there at the Pioneer. So all the rescue operations were staged there, and Clark Gable could be seen falling asleep, like, because he'd just been up for so long, like nodding off at the bar there. I don't think it was Clark Gable's spirit. I don't necessarily think it was Carol Lombard's spirit either, but that's one instance of that. There was also said to be a young boy who had drowned on the property, who had fallen into a well. There was also the man who was shot several times and left there. There have also been other people who have just died from natural causes, like having a heart attack just at the bar, stuff like that. I know a previous owner had passed away on the property. Yeah, and that's most of them. I'll save the other one for last because it's very vital to the end of the investigation. But yeah, I mean, we didn't instantly try to be like, aha, it's so and so. We were just kind of like, all right, we're just going to let it be and we're going to observe it.
Yeah, a good appetizer before you really dive into the heavy paranormal. Yeah. So let's move on from there. What happened next?
So we do that. We do the full lights on tour. Then we do a full, we turn off all the lights. We turn off everything. We start setting up for the investigation, and I said, okay guys, I want to let the room come to us. So I sat us all at the poker table, lights off. Granted, everybody was in there, all of the crew. So there was four crew members. There was two camera guys, a PA, and a producer. So the two camera guys are filming us, and we have IR cameras so they can see in the dark and everything, but it's pitch black. I can't see anything. And the energy that was at that table originally is gone. It's not there anymore. And we're like, okay, there's nothing really going on here, okay? And Steven, the owner, gets up. He gets up and he's like, I feel like the energy is outside watching us right now and it's working its way into the bar, which is very creepy to hear. It's very terrifying to hear. He goes and he walks out to the window. So he's walking to the edge of the bar, walks to a window, and he's like, yeah, I feel like the energy is outside. It's not here. As that's happening, I hear footsteps in back of house in the hallway. And I look and I'm like, everybody's here right now. There's nobody else here. We just made sure we just locked up everything too. So we locked ourselves in. And it's a great clip, and it kind of picks up and starts off the investigation. And I ask and I say, are you in the back right now? And you hear a very audible something fall in the back of house. And we get up and we look and there's nothing moved or displaced. So that's kind of where that all started. It caused the owner and our director of photography, Travis, to run to the back and try to chase it, which we were told by the bartender, don't chase it, let it come to you. And so we were already breaking the rules. So he's running off there. And so myself and Brian, and this isn't on camera or anything, which I wish it was, we're sitting at the bar now. We're sitting at when you walk in the front doors, there's a table directly to the left. We're sitting at that table, looking kind of at an angle at the edge of the bar. Lights are completely off. This is now, okay, we're waiting for them to see what they find, you know, kind of giving them their space and just kind of letting the room breathe. And I go, hey, Brian, are you cold right now? Like, it's discernibly cold and the AC units aren't on. And he's like, yeah, I feel like a chill right now. And I was like, okay. And as I say, okay, I look up at the edge of the bar, and as clear as I see, like, I mean, you're over Zoom, but like as clear as you would see a person sitting in front of you, I see at the edge of the bar a face looking back at me. Just looking.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box. When you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
And then a shadow, like a dark shadow, walks from the bathroom door, which was right behind where I saw the face, to the edge of the bar, and then is just gone.
Wow. So you went from feeling some kind of energy, kind of holding onto a chair or making things difficult, to hearing sounds, to you actually saw an apparition at the bar.
Correct. And so, and I'm leaving out a part of when he's in the, so when Steven's in the back, we set up a camera in the dining room, which is behind the bar. And we set up a camera in the dining room, one of the IR cameras. We just leave it. And sure enough, an orb, a very clear orb, comes down from the ceiling. And it doesn't look like dust, and it doesn't look like a fruit fly or anything like that, because you can see those in the video as well. You can have something to compare it to. So the orb comes down, and then we all hear it. It's not necessarily audible in the video, but we all start hearing music coming from the roof. Now, granted, this building's over 100 years old. So we're like, do you hear that? And I'm out in the front still. And I'm like, do you hear that? And on the video thing, thankfully we caught it. Steven's like, I hear music playing. So they walk from the back office. Now they walked all the way to the back office of the building, come through the main hallway, the service hallway, and they step into the dining room. And as he steps into the dining room, I have the shot of him walking from the camera we left in the dining room. And as he walks in, you see another orb just to his right come down.
When you looked over and saw it, was it just the face, or can you describe in as much detail as possible what it was you saw?
So it was just a face, and it was thinking back on it, I couldn't really tell if it was a man or a woman, but I could see two eyes, the bridge of the nose, and then a mouth and like a chin looking at me. But from where they were sitting, it was like they were in between two bottles. So it's almost like they were leaning down to peer at me through the two bottles on the bar. So I saw that. I didn't know if it was a man or a woman. I couldn't, because it was still in the dark, but I could definitely tell, yeah, that's a face looking at me.
So you feel, I mean, obviously, talking to as many people as you have about the paranormal, you feel like this was more than just what somebody might call a classic shadow figure, that it actually delved into, you know, a physical being of an apparition. I don't know, it's a weird way to put it, but
no, yeah,
it had physical characteristics, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like, and the thing is like, because people always say like, yeah, shadow people, like, yeah, that's a thing. And but like the transparent ghost, I found out, was like just a Hollywood trick they did just to portray it. But I saw a full face at me, and then I saw a shadow figure walk from the bathroom door to the edge of the bar.
And what do you think kept you from like completely losing your chill when that happened? Because
yeah, it was Brian. It was the guy next to me. Cause you know, he's old enough to kind of be my dad. And so, but he kind of talked me down. I was like, I was literally freaking out. I was like, Brian, holy shit. I just saw a face looking at me. Like, dude, this is crazy.
And as you start to move on, are you feeling your senses kind of get heightened after that
experience?
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Like I never really knew what it meant what people meant when they were like, the energy feels heavy.
Yes.
Until that night. And then I realized, oh, there's actual changes in energy. Like that is an actual thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And you hear a lot of people associate that word energy with the paranormal. And it is funny once you start to kind of put the pieces together for yourself after speaking to so many people, it's like, oh, this is what they're talking about. And it's horrifying.
Yep. It is in the, and it's funny, you know, you can call me a little bitch or whatever, but in the video, I literally look at Travis when I'm by myself and I go, I am terrified right now.
You like, imagine I'm if I was just like, scared. You're such a little bitch. Let's move on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Little bitch talk. All right. Now tell me about when you were also a little bitch later in the night. Okay.
What a horrible host I would be. No, I'd be the same way, man. You move on to the EVP sessions. What started to happen then?
So nothing really. Like I said, the only thing we really caught was just that woman responding to me, but that was really it. In the moment, we didn't notice anything. We didn't know that we had that EVP till a few days later when we were going through all the footage and everything. Like I said, nothing really notable happened until the spirit box session, which was kind of the ending 2 hours of the investigation.
And what kind of spirit box, do you remember what equipment you guys were using?
Yeah. So, I mean, we actually just got new equipment in today. We got actual spirit boxes. We actually used an app, but what we did to not be duped by the app is we used, because we had EMF detectors. We had legitimate EMF detectors. We put them on the same table, but not right next to each other, so they would interfere. But what we were experiencing is every time we would get a response, the EMF would spike.
Really?
Yeah. And we have it on camera too, and it was crazy to see that in real time.
Well, so tell us about what happened.
So we first started it in the main bar area, in the main saloon, and we were just asking questions like, what's your name? And we kept getting this name, Andrew. Brian, the paranormal sensitive, started getting like a dark feeling. Started getting like a, yeah, he's like, I don't feel right now. So we kind of stopped, and we were getting ready to kind of start packing up. And in the dining area, they have one booth that is said to be just extremely active. Like, people can smell cigarettes, even though they don't allow smoking inside the establishment. Everything happens there, cold spots, apparitions. So Brian decides, I'm going to go sit at that booth by himself. He pulls out the EMF detector and he's like, if you're here with me, come sit with me. And then it just starts spiking. Something sat, at least moved into that area with him. He turns on the spirit box and it starts going off. And what really made it crazy, and what really made me believe that that app wasn't full of it, was it wasn't giving us just random information. It was giving us, you know, responses to questions. But Steven, the owner, walks up to the booth and you hear the spirit box say, hi, Steven. Yeah, it's on camera too. Like, it's on the video. Like, whoa. So anybody listening, I invite you to go watch that, because it's in there. And so Steven, and you know, he's phased, but he's not, he's trying to hide. He's like, hi, who am I talking with? And they say, Clark. And they were like, Andrew Clark? Because we heard Andrew earlier. And George, our camera guy, goes, Clark Gable, because we're sitting literally in front of the Clark Gable wall. And when he says that, the EMF starts spiking again. So we're like, what? And we're like, okay. So we continue going, and this is going to sound funny until you hear context. Steven is talking to it, and then the spirit box says and calls him an asshole. Now, Steven owns a nonprofit called the Asshole Association.
Okay.
So he then goes, am I the head of the Asshole Association? And we get a response, basically. That's one part of it. Then, and once again, it's going to sound funny until you hear context. Steven is still talking to it, you know, asking random, and then it says, fuck you. Pretty crazy. So, I mean, we laugh at it because it's kind of funny. It's like, yeah, he said, fuck you. And that was it for the investigation. We kind of left it at that. We weren't really getting anything else. And we kind of wrap up. And at the end of the investigation, in the end of the video, you see Steven call me over and he goes, hey, so we had a employee pass away a few months ago. His name was Flynn. And the way he used to show like he cared about you is he would say, fuck you. It was really heavy because, one, it said, hi, Steven, when he walked up. He was really close with this employee. Most of the employees live in Good Springs, so they like their entire lives are spent in that saloon. And it called him an asshole, which is also apparently another term of endearment from him. And also, he is the head of the Asshole Association. So this wasn't just a random spirit that was there, but you know, like that we thought it was Flynn, the employee who had passed away like 3 months prior, talking to him. And I actually just had the owner on the show the other day, and he was talking about it, and he was like, in the moment, it didn't hit me, but then like a day later, it hit me. And we realized we were potentially speaking to Flynn at the end.
Wow.
And it was a really heavy realization that we had. And that's kind of how the video ends, is it ends with us realizing that and me kind of giving my final thoughts on it.
What was more impactful for you as somebody who was kind of a mid believer who kind of sprung forward from the experience? Was it seeing the apparition or having that direct kind of verifying contact at the end?
I would say it's equal parts of both. More so. And because here's the thing is like, I can say all day that I saw something, but nobody else is really going to believe you. But then when I show them the video of, or the footage really of this spirit box talking to us and not just saying random words, but responding to our questions, the EMF detector going off at the same time to kind of confirm that it was happening, and then it having a conversation almost with the owner of the saloon.
Yeah.
Like that alone was like, okay, it took me a little bit, like the next day I woke up, and it was funny, the drive home, it was about a 30 minute drive home, and my director of photography, who's also my boss at the studio, goes like the next day, he's like, Austin, I was really bummed that like you weren't all excited on the way back. Like, wow, we found something. And I was like, because I was trying to process what the hell we just did.
Like, like I'm trying to be a human. Like, let me just be a human for a minute, not a creator. Yeah, I think that's fair for sure.
Yeah. And so the person that helped me start this channel back in 2021 passed away. Actually, we started in 2020. He passed away in 2021. And so the feeling that I had after the paranormal investigation was the same feeling I had when he passed away, which was like my body is trying to accept it and reject it at the same time. It's like my body's like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, this is so crazy of information. We don't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that your friend and co-founder passed away.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. But to kind of hint at this weekend, I think that's who's here.
Okay.
Because he was in a podcast with myself and George, the other cam operator, and our desks are right next to each other in the back of the studio, and we have his ashes in little vials above our desks. And we've been having a lot of activity here in the last few months, so I'm wondering if he may be part of that.
And if our listeners want to check out your results from that investigation and follow along, what's the best way for them to do that?
So if you just go to the YouTube page, it's just Bizarre Junkies, and Junkies is spelled J-U-N-K-E-E-Z. On the YouTube, it should be the pinned, like the first video that's right there. It should be the pinned one. If not, you could just look up, it's like, we did a paranormal investigation, and it's a picture of Steven. It's a guy in a cowboy hat in IR, in black and white.
Where do you see this going for you? Like, what is your dream scenario? Other than don't say how it's going now. I really want to know, like, in your big picture world, where do you want to take all of this?
So there are a couple of influences that I have. One of them is somebody like Jay Wasley, where they are traveling and going to ghost hunts. And we've actually been reached out to now by a place in Illinois that they want us to go out there. I do Bizarre Junkies pretty much full time, but I work a full time job. Granted, it's kind of hand in hand. I work here at the studio. And so I get to kind of like this weekend, for example, like I just did some interviews of people from the studio right before hopping on this one, and it kind of lends itself. But so I would like to do that. I would also like to, have you heard of a show called Last Podcast on the Left?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I love their show, and I like how they do like a touring podcast. Yeah. I would like to do that as well. And so that's kind of where I would like for this to go. You know, we're working with some big names, and we've got the talent behind us. Is just a matter of time. And that's the thing about being a content creator, is like, sometimes it is just a grind. Sometimes you just have to get in the trenches and just grind it out sometimes. And you know,
yeah,
understanding how content works really helps.
All right, Austin. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We'd love to have you back on down the road. We're always trying to collaborate with new friends of the show. But yeah, this was great. You guys do an amazing job. Your stuff looks so professional.
Thank you.
Sounds really good. I know our audience is really going to enjoy it. Well, we have a really goofy way of wrapping up our episodes, and it never feels more awkward when it's just a one-on-one interview. But basically, I'll say my name, you'll say your name, and then like two little ghosts, we go, "Ooh," and that's
how. Okay.
So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Austin Alvarez.
And everybody does the hand motions. I love that. There's always
it gets you into it. It helps you get into it. What if it just stone cold, just woo?
Sometimes people are like, I don't want to do it. I'm scared you're going to leave me hanging. I'm like, what a dick I would be if that's how we buttoned every episode.
That's a power move, though. That's a power move.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica. The heresies of Radolf Burntwein have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.